English Listening Comprehension Test, Autumn 2014, Advanced Level. This test is in six parts. Part 6 has separate directions. In Parts 1 through 5, you will answer the questions asked in the booklet by choosing the best alternative answer, according to what you have heard. Mark each answer on the optical answer sheet. The test is about to begin. Now you will hear Part 1 twice. First, listen to it straight through.
Sometimes there is someone who remains purposefully in the background. Such a man is Pierre Paganini. I'm very pleased to have you here with me today, Pierre.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's inspiring to talk to a man behind the great tennis star Roger Federer. Pierre, you are the constant in Roger's ability to endure in style. I know he needs that stability. Looking into your background, I understand you were a track and field sportsman who never played tennis at a high level.
That's quite correct. And I'm interested in watching football. And from the age of 4 to the age of 20, I played violin. But then I traded it in for a medicine ball.
That's quite a switch. What has Roger had to do differently to succeed at his age?
When you work with a 19-year-old, you work long-term. The older Roger gets, the more the moment itself becomes important for him. And Roger still has an incredible capacity to progress. That's why he's still on top. Primarily, he's mentally very strong, and secondly, he can adapt to physical side too. As Roger is so coordinated, you have to be good to find exercises that give him trouble. In 2000, when we started working full-time, I proposed a complex thing. He then explained at the end why I had asked him to do it. He had understood as an athlete how to do it, but also understood why. He had the internal and external aspect covered.
Does Roger need to work as much physically as other players?
His physicality is very much in the forefront on the court, so yes, he has to work at it. You see, Roger varies play a great deal. So, if he varies a lot, it means that he also has to have footwork that is more varied, too much. Take someone who speaks English and French well, and take someone else who speaks English, Russian, Japanese, Spanish, and Chinese. Roger, for me, is the second one. He speaks lots of languages on the court, with his creativity, but he also speaks lots of languages with his speed, and coordination, and his physique, because he's obliged to do it, because he's a creative player. What is more difficult? To speak 7 languages or 2? 7. Which proves that when you have lots of talent, you have to work a lot. And that's what Roger does.
Now listen to the same interview in 3 sections. Look at questions 1 and 2.
Sometimes there is someone who remains purposefully in the background. Such a man is Pierre Paganini. I'm very pleased to have you here with me today, Pierre.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's inspiring to talk to a man behind the great tennis star Roger Federer. Pierre, you are the constant in Roger's ability to endure in style. I know he needs that stability. Looking into your background, I understand you were a track and field sportsman who never played tennis at a high level.
That's quite correct. And I'm interested in watching football. And from the age of 4 to the age of 20, I played violin. But then I traded it in for a medicine ball.
That's quite a switch.
Answer questions 1 and 2, then look at questions 3 and 4.
What has Roger had to do differently to succeed at his age?
When you work with a 19-year-old, you work long-term. The older Roger gets, the more the moment itself becomes important for him. And Roger still has an incredible capacity to progress. That's why he's still on top. Primarily, he's mentally very strong, and secondly, he can adapt to physical side too. As Roger is so coordinated, you have to be good to find exercises that give him trouble. In 2000, when we started working full-time, I proposed a complex thing. He then explained at the end why I had asked him to do it. He had understood as an athlete how to do it, but also understood why. He had the internal and external aspect covered.
Answer questions 3 and 4. Look at questions 5 and 6.
Does Roger need to work as much physically as other players?
His physicality is very much in the forefront on the court, so yes, he has to work at it. You see, Roger varies play a great deal, so if he varies a lot, it means that he also has to have footwork that is more varied, too much. Take someone who speaks English and French well, and take someone else who speaks English, Russian, Japanese, Spanish, and Chinese. Roger, for me, is the second one. He speaks lots of languages on the court, with his creativity, but he also speaks lots of languages with his speed and coordination and his physique, because he's obliged to do it, because he's a creative player. What is more difficult? To speak 7 languages or 2? 7. Which proves that when you have lots of talent, you have to work a lot. And that's what Roger does.
Answer questions 5 and 6. This is the second part of the test. You will hear this part twice. Listen to this part straight through.
Carl Sweeney will interview Maria Popova. Maria runs a website called Brain Pickings.
With 1.2 million readers a month and 3 million page views, your site would be a good place to advertise. But instead, you ask readers for voluntary contributions. What have you got against advertising?
Well, today, search engine optimization is the so-called circulation management of the internet. It doesn't put the reader's best interests first. It turns them into a sellable eyeball and then sells that to advertisers. As soon as you begin to treat your stakeholder as a bargaining chip, you're not interested in broadening their intellectual horizons or bettering their life. I don't believe in this model of making people into currency. I think you should be accountable to your reader.
As someone making their living online, what changes do you see ahead for people like you?
It's always hard to separate predictions from hopefulness. I'm hopeful that the model of micro-donations will grow and will help more people who are truly passionate about thoroughly exploring some subject to deliver it to an audience without having to rely on advertisers. For instance, the Radiolab podcasts are supported by audience contributions. And Longreads, which selects and organises the best free long-term reading online, has paid memberships. In that case, the value people find is in the packaging of free content, as Longreads collects and organises material for individuals. That is the offering people are increasingly willing to pay for, and I'm hoping to see more of that.
What are the best and worst things the internet has brought out in us?
I worry about the temporal bias of the web. Everything online is based around vertical chronology. The latest stuff floats at the top, and the older stuff sinks towards the bottom. It suggests that just because something is more recent, it's more relevant. Yet, in culture, the best ideas are timeless. They have no expiration date. This makes the internet a tricky medium for organizing information and prioritizing knowledge. The best thing is the obvious thing. The remarkable access to nearly infinite information. It is my hope that, as we find better ways to transform that information into knowledge and wisdom, we'll be better able to improve the former with the latter.
Now listen to the same interview in three sections. Look at questions 7 and 8.
With 1.2 million readers a month and 3 million page views, your site would be a good place to advertise. But instead, you ask readers for voluntary contributions. What have you got against advertising?
Well, today, search engine optimization is the so-called circulation management of the internet. It doesn't put the reader's best interests first. It turns them into a sellable eyeball and then sells that to advertisers. As soon as you begin to treat your stakeholder as a bargaining chip, you're not interested in broadening their intellectual horizons or bettering their life. I don't believe in this model of making people into currency. I think you should be accountable to your reader.
Answer questions 7 and 8, then look at questions 9 and 10.
As someone making their living online, what changes do you see ahead for people like you?
It's always hard to separate predictions from hopefulness. I'm hopeful that the model of micro-donations will grow and will help more people who are truly passionate about thoroughly exploring some subject to deliver it to an audience without having to rely on advertisers. For instance, the Radiolab podcasts are supported by audience contributions. And Longreads, which selects and organises the best free long-term reading online, has paid memberships. In that case, the value people find is in the packaging of free content, as Longreads collects and organises material for individuals. That is the offering people are increasingly willing to pay for, and I'm hoping to see more of that.
Answer questions 9 and 10. Look at questions 11 and 12.
What are the best and worst things the internet has brought out in us?
I worry about the temporal bias of the web. Everything online is based around vertical chronology. The latest stuff floats at the top, and the older stuff sinks towards the bottom. It suggests that just because something is more recent, it's more relevant. Yet, in culture, the best ideas are timeless. They have no expiration date. This makes the internet a tricky medium for organizing information and prioritizing knowledge. The best thing is the obvious thing: the remarkable access to nearly infinite information. It is my hope that, as we find better ways to transform that information into knowledge and wisdom, we'll be better able to improve the former with the latter.
Answer questions 11 and 12. This is the third part of the test. In this part, you will hear a lecture. You will hear it twice.
Today, we will hear Hayden Parry talking about a research project dealing with a very small animal, something you may not have realized is a great problem in our world.
So I'd like to start by focusing on the world's most dangerous animal. It's the mosquito. If we could control it, we wouldn't have between 200 and 300 million cases of malaria every year. And now suddenly we have the largest mosquito-borne virus danger ever, and that's called dengue fever. Let's assume you go on holiday, say, Thailand, Mexico, the Canaries. You get bitten by a mosquito that's carrying dengue virus. Well, you could develop mild flu-like symptoms. And once you've had this disease, your body develops antibodies. So if you're bitten again with that strain, it doesn't affect you. But it's not one virus, it's four. And the same protection that gives you the antibodies and protects you from the same virus that you had before actually makes you much more likely to get the other three. So the next time you get dengue fever, you're likely to get shock syndrome or breakbone fever. And now you ask me how we can get rid of this threat. Well, we must be good at killing mosquitoes. That's what our research is aimed at. Now, only the female can bite you. So if you put what I'll call sterile males out there, that means a truck going down the road releasing sterile males, the offspring will actually die at various stages. I'm just calling them sterile. And that will bring the population down. We've already done field trials in the Cayman Islands, and we've got the population down by about 85% in about 4 months. Now, remember, a single mosquito can only fly about 200 meters. So you take a Google map, you divide it up, and make sure you're releasing them so that you get coverage of the area. What we're actually doing is taking the mosquito and giving it the biggest disadvantage it can possibly have.
Now listen to the same lecture in two sections. Look at questions 13 and 14.
Today, we will hear Hayden Parry talking about a research project dealing with a very small animal, something you may not have realized is a great problem in our world.
So I'd like to start by focusing on the world's most dangerous animal. It's the mosquito. If we could control it, we wouldn't have between 200 and 300 million cases of malaria every year. And now suddenly we have the largest mosquito-borne virus danger ever, and that's called dengue fever. Let's assume you go on holiday, say, Thailand, Mexico, the Canaries. You get bitten by a mosquito that's carrying dengue virus. Well, you could develop mild flu-like symptoms. And once you've had this disease, your body develops antibodies. So if you're bitten again with that strain, it doesn't affect you. But it's not one virus, it's four. And the same protection that gives you the antibodies and protects you from the same virus that you had before actually makes you much more likely to get the other three. So the next time you get dengue fever, you're likely to get shock syndrome or breakbone fever.
Answer questions 13 and 14, then look at questions 15 and 16.
And now you ask me how we can get rid of this threat. Well, we must be good at killing mosquitoes. That's what our research is aimed at. Now, only the female can bite you. So if you put what I'll call sterile males out there, that means a truck going down the road releasing sterile males, the offspring will actually die at various stages. I'm just calling them sterile. And that will bring the population down. We've already done field trials in the Cayman Islands, and we've got the population down by about 85% in about 4 months. Now, remember, a single mosquito can only fly about 200 metres. So you take a Google map, you divide it up, and make sure you're releasing them so that you get coverage of the area. What we're actually doing is taking the mosquito and giving it the biggest disadvantage it can possibly have.
Answer questions 15 and 16. This is the fourth part of the test. You will hear some public service announcements. You will hear each of them once only. Look at question 17.
One of the most important activities to share with your baby is reading. That's why the Brown County Public Library is offering the Born to Read program for teen parents. Tutors provide coaching, a video offers tips, and librarians distribute books and other materials to teen mothers. The program is made possible through a grant from the U.S. Federal Institute of Museum and Library Services. For more information or to be a volunteer, call 505-555-1234.
Answer question 17. Look at question 18.
Planning an all-nighter to cram for an exam or write that term paper you've been putting off? Well, if you're thinking about taking a prescription stimulant like Adderall or Ritalin that hasn't been prescribed for you by your doctor, you may end up falling further behind in a big way. Using stimulants to get in the zone and focus is not just dangerous. Experts say doing so won't improve your grades over time. Your best bet for getting good grades? Don't put it off. Don't skip sleep. For more information about the danger of prescription drug abuse, visit our website.
Answer question 18, then look at question 19.
You know that asthma symptoms can really slow you down. What you may not know is that there are two main causes of asthma symptoms: airway constriction you feel and inflammation you may not feel. If your medicine is only treating one, it can make asthma feel like an uphill battle. Learn how to better treat your asthma by treating both main causes of asthma symptoms. This can help prevent symptoms before they even start.
Answer question 19, look at question 20.
Nothing is as serene as paddling down a glassy river on a cool spring day in a canoe. And nothing is as exhilarating as whitewater wilderness paddling. Be ready for an occasional dunking when you canoe. Don't panic. Stay upstream of the boat to avoid being pinned between the boat and a rock as the flow of the river pushes you downstream. In calm waters, angle your way up to shore instead of paddling straight. Stay behind the boat and hold on to it for flotation. Always wear your life jacket. Don't attempt rivers or rapids beyond your ability.
Answer question 20. This is the fifth part of the test. In this part, you will hear six short dialogues. You will hear each of them once only. Look at question 21.
Harry promised me this morning that he would pay back the $50 he borrowed last month. I've got a phone bill to pay.
Sounds like he's not done it.
No, he called and said that something come up and he had to unexpectedly cancel our meeting.
Well, he should keep his promises.
Answer question 21, then look at question 22.
Susan's really great at field hockey.
She sure is. She displays a great deal of courage on the pitch.
And it's all serving a purpose, keeping the pressure on the opponent until her team can score.
And she strictly observes the rules of the game. What do you think really sets Susan apart in the game?
Answer question 22, look at question 23.
I find it rather odd that Harold has such a deep dislike of Sharon. It's not at all like him.
I know. He can barely conceal it. I really hope she hasn't noticed, and I don't think she has any reason to suspect him.
Anyway, It's really out of character for him. Why do you think he's behaving like this?
Answer question 23, then look at question 24.
Do you know anything about our neighbour?
Not really. All I know is that he moved in next door to us last year and that he has a cat that he sometimes lets out through the window.
Is that all? You know I'm always at work when he's at home. I thought you'd talk to him a couple of times.
Well, I have, but only about rubbish pickup and things like that.
Answer question 24. Look at question 25.
Cheryl has really helped Tony out. He was in trouble with the taxman and didn't have a clue how to get the situation straightened out. He owes her big.
Yes, that Cheryl's a really clever woman. She's explained the ins and outs of taxes to a lot of different people.
Answer question 25, then look at question 26.
The plan for the new school building that was put forward by the local council is seriously flawed.
I'll say. There's no gym. Can you imagine?
No, not at all. But that's not the worst bit. There are no offices for the teachers and, worse yet, no lunchroom.
Answer question 26. This is the sixth part of the test. There are five sections. Each section is a separate piece of news. You will hear each section twice, and then you will have time to answer that section. Then you will go on to the next section. You will write in Finnish or Swedish. You must write your answers on the special answer sheet. Read question A. Question A. Listen to this section.
An Argentinian football fan found a unique way of expressing his displeasure at his team's performance. The Argentinos Juniors supporter threw his false teeth at the manager after a fifth straight defeat. Unrest had begun to grow in the crowd after Martin Zapata's strike had given Belgrano a 3-1 second-half lead. When the TV camera panned to a close-up of the team's manager, though, the TV director spotted something on the grass next to the manager and then zoomed in on the dentures. The supporter remains unidentified.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
An Argentinian football fan found a unique way of expressing his displeasure at his team's performance. The Argentinos Juniors supporter threw his false teeth at the manager after a fifth straight defeat. Unrest had begun to grow in the crowd after Martin Zapata's strike had given Belgrano a 3-1 second-half lead. When the TV camera panned to a close-up of the team's manager, though, the TV director spotted something on the grass next to the manager and then zoomed in on the dentures. The supporter remains unidentified.
Read question B. Question B, listen to this section.
An incompetent plumber made a mistake. The workman caused a problem after botching a job by leaving a hole in some piping. He had punctured the pipe and had failed to carry out a straightforward test which would have located the leak. Hours later, the owners smelt gas and began searching. While checking out a room in which the electricity had been disconnected because of the repairs, the owner flicked on a cigarette lighter and the flame ignited a massive explosion which rocked the house. The blast had such force that the entire building moved an inch.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
An incompetent plumber made a mistake. The workman caused a problem after botching a job by leaving a hole in some piping. He had punctured the pipe and had failed to carry out a straightforward test which would have located the leak. Hours later, the owners smelt gas and began searching. While checking out a room in which the electricity had been disconnected because of the repairs, the owner flicked on a cigarette lighter and the flame ignited a massive explosion which rocked the house. The blast had such force that the entire building moved an inch.
Read question C. Question C, listen to this section.
According to a new study, far from falling out with each other or being cutthroat rivals for the next promotion, office friendships are closer and more emotional than any other. People of all ages and backgrounds are often thrown together without any notice, and yet have to spend several hours a day side by side, often in stressful situations. This increases the likelihood of tight bonds of friendship. It's felt that the demands and stressful environment of the workplace shape emotionally close friendships. On the other hand, friendships outside work are usually formed through common factors.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
According to a new study, far from falling out with each other or being cutthroat rivals for the next promotion, office friendships are closer and more emotional than any other. People of all ages and backgrounds are often thrown together without any notice, and yet have to spend several hours a day side by side, often in stressful situations. This increases the likelihood of tight bonds of friendship. It's felt that the demands and stressful environment of the workplace shape emotionally close friendships. On the other hand, friendships outside work are usually formed through common factors.
Read question D. Question D, listen to this section.
A great-great-grandmother celebrated her 99th birthday in Hampshire by abseiling down the side of a building. Her name's Doris Long, and she already held the world record for the oldest person to abseil.
She scaled the building to raise money for Rowan's hospital. Mrs. Long, who took up abseiling at the age of 85, has carried out a total of 8 descents for the charity. After her descent, Mrs. Long, who is known as Daring Doris, said she was looking forward to her birthday party.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
A great-great-grandmother celebrated her 99th birthday in Hampshire by abseiling down the side of a building. Her name's Doris Long, and she already held the world record for the oldest person to abseil. She scaled the building to raise money for Rowan's hospital. Mrs. Long, who took up abseiling at the age of 85, has carried out a total of 8 descents for the charity. After her descent, Mrs. Long, who is known as Daring Doris, said she was looking forward to her birthday party.
Read question E. Question E, listen to this section.
The popular Norwegian crime writer Hans Olav Lahlum set the world record for the longest interview. He spent more than 30 non-stop hours chatting in a broadcast. Lahlum rarely paused for more than a few seconds. He discussed a broad range of topics. At one point, he said, "I think that tonight I might go to bed a little earlier than usual." And then, a bit later, shortly after surpassing the previous record, Lahlum plunged into a lengthy discussion on Norwegian playwright Henrik Ibsen. How will they get him to stop talking?
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
The popular Norwegian crime writer Hans Olav Lahlum set the world record for the longest interview. He spent more than 30 non-stop hours chatting in a broadcast. Lahlum rarely paused for more than a few seconds. He discussed a broad range of topics. At one point, he said, "I think that tonight I might go to bed a little earlier than usual." And then, a bit later, shortly after surpassing the previous record, Lahlum plunged into a lengthy discussion on Norwegian playwright Henrik Ibsen. How will they get him to stop talking?
This is the end of the test. You will now have 8 minutes in which to blacken with a pencil the ovals indicating your answers and to check the written answers. Remember to make sure you have written the following information on your answer sheet: your name and number, and the name and number of your school. In addition, make sure that the information needed for the exam has been carefully marked in. Thank you.